Hello, and welcome to This Xbox Life. This is episode N1H1, otherwise known as episode 59. And I say that because everybody's sick. Bron is here with me. He's the only one here, and he is carrying the N1H1 virus, but disinfected his microphone. We've quarantined the MP3 file, so none of you have to worry about getting anything.
Yeah, so that way, if I'm talking and then all of a sudden just disappear for about 3 seconds, that's because I've muted so I don't infect all of you guys as I cough my lungs out. So,
Kyle is also sick, and Rob is unable to attend today, unfortunately. We're here, show must go on, and that's all right, we're the two best hosts anyways, right?
Well, as of Friday Night Life, I'm the one that nobody knows about. I'm the quiet host that doesn't know that I'm sitting in the call, or sitting in the, what is it?
In the party.
Group, yeah, in the party, so that was pretty fun.
Yeah, we were, Friday Night Life we had this week, Brun joins the party. It was me, Dirty Bites, it was Dirty Bite, Phil the Guy, and myself, and then later on, Brun joined the party. Well, while he's sitting in there not saying anything, he was quiet, and Phil starts talking about the other host on the show, one of the other hosts,
it was Kyle. Kyle bashed you for playing for Lycan Hawks, and then Rob liked it. And then that one other guy, who's really quiet, really didn't say much.
What was his name again? Oh, you meant the guy in the party?
I'm like, it was me. He goes, oh, hi. So,
and he kept calling you Rob, right?
He called me Rob a couple of times, and then he had to get my name down. So it was pretty funny. So it was that one guy, Phil. That's what I'm calling him. That one guy, Phil. So that was pretty funny.
But, so, Ron, have you played anything this week?
Well, besides coughing my lungs out.
Besides the N1H1 rhythm game.
Yeah. I played a little Shadow Complex. I'm trying to get 100%. And I popped in Forza 2 to try to play it because all the talk about Forza 3 has got me kind of excited. So I popped in Forza 2 and realized that, since I haven't played it for about a year, I've lost all my technique and I get my butt kicked. So, other than that, I've been on Netflix watching movies most of the time. But that's about it.
All right, speaking of Netflix and movies, and this isn't related to Xbox in any way, but it just made me think about it. Do you watch The Office?
Yes, I do.
Did you watch this week's show?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I got a friend of mine at work. We watch this show. And I've kind of been complaining that this season hasn't been very funny. It's like there's like one thing each show that, okay, I chuckle at. But it seems to me, and we've been talking about it, it seems like the show's kind of lost its touch. Last week's episode, the hour-long wedding one, I have never laughed so hard at this show as I did that week. This was by far, I think, the best episode they've ever done.
Yeah, and one of the funniest jokes is, like, right off the bat, they said something. Man, oh, it was, can you guys change your perfume and all that stuff? And then, you know, he was peeling his egg at his desk.
Yes.
He eats the egg, so she throws up in the trash can, then the whole office is puking. I was laughing my butt off.
I thought it was, so she just looks at him and she's like, all right, fine. I'm picking my garbage can. I'm going to puke right here in front of you. And everybody loses it. That was so good. But the one that got me the best was when they're coming down the aisle and they play that song and everybody's dancing. When Dwight kicks that lady in the face, man.
Yeah.
Died, man. That was so hilarious.
Yeah. There was another, like, inside joke on there, which I started laughing right away, which Devin didn't get, but it's when he, Dwight came out of, like, the bathroom or something dressed to go party the night before, and he had the Three Wolves t-shirt on.
Uh-huh.
Do you know the whole inside joke about the Three Wolves t-shirt, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, that t-shirt was like on Amazon. And if you go to Amazon.com, cha-ching, and you look at like the reviews about the Three Wolves t-shirt, this guy went on there and made like a funny review about like why the Three Wolves t-shirt's so cool and how it would be even better if there was like one more wolf on it and things like that. And it turned into this whole craze. Now there's like a ton of reviews on this t-shirt that are like, they're funny reviews. So now this shirt's like selling off the rack. It's like selling out everywhere. So, and he had one on during the show and I just started laughing. So
that's why I know he was like, it was just like the best episode. I mean, there's some funny stuff and I've always liked their show, but my gosh, I couldn't stop laughing this last week. But anyways.
Yeah, it's been slow up to last week. So
I'm back, man. It's like, I am back in the show. I told my wife, she thinks it's stupid. And anytime she watches it, she laughs. So I've told her, I said, I saved it. I'm like, you got to watch this. This is hysterical. And I can't wait to see it again. I'm going to watch it again. So, but back to our games, what we've been playing. This week, the entire week, the only thing I played was Hawks. And I got the full 1,000 achievement points in it this week. I was very happy to finish that. And the cool thing is, yeah, I had to boost a few. But most of my achievements were all done legitimately. I only boosted about, I think, 5 achievements, maybe 6 or so. The rest of that was all legit, which was cool. Because some of the guys that I was playing with, they were like, man, I have to boost to get this. And I was like, man, I got that just playing. You know, I lucked out. But some of these achievements, like General of the Air Force, and we also, there's one called Sitting Ducks. Which is where you – and this is hard, dude. This has to be – to me, I think this has to be the hardest one. And I'd swear you have to either get – just be lucky or you have to boost to get this one because you have to basically – you have to shoot – you have to kill 2 other airplanes at the same time, which – so you have multi-missiles. So you can shoot – like if there's 4 planes and you got – they're all in range, you'll fire once and it shoots a missile at each one.
Right.
You have to kill 2 jets – that are affected by your EMP. Well, so that means they already have to be damaged enough that one missile will take them out. You have to hit them with your EMP and time everything that your missiles. So you got to launch the missiles at them, and then right before they strike, you got to hit the EMP and take them out. Now, when you're in a regular, you know, and that has to all happen, it's just like perfect. And even trying to boost it can be complicated. Huh. And of course, you know, getting the EMP option alone can be kind of a pain. And I can't see how people can get this in a regular match. With all these people flying around, all these missiles flying around, it's crazy. But I got that one. And that one, it's called Sitting Ducks. And I remember the other night, I forgot what it was called. And I was like, I need to get that Dead Birds achievement. Everybody starts laughing. But then it stuck. And that's all we called it. And then... So we kept calling it Dead Birds, and then later on in the week, Phil, the guy, got on and said, I think it was Phil, my apologies, Phil, if it wasn't you, but I think it was him that he called it the Dead Fish achievement. We not sure how he went from Dead Birds to Dead Fish, but that was kind of the running joke all week, is what we named that achievement.
That crazy guy, Phil. So,
and then finally, today, actually, Saturday, I finally put in Beatles Rock Band. And played that again. I played that quite a bit today. It was a lot of fun. Wife joined me. She was doing the harmony parts, and I actually ended up getting the achievement for 100, getting 1,000,000 points with the harmonies and stuff. So that was cool. She helped me get another achievement. But, yeah, that's all I played this week. It was all a Hawks week.
Right.
And, of course, I already said we did that for FNL, so no need to drag that on.
Cool.
And Brun, despite the fact there's just 2 of us, I think this is going to be one of the coolest shows topic wise in my opinion. And it really stinks the other guys can't be here because I really love their input on this. But
yeah, I kind of primed the pump with my thing posting out to the to the blog first, but we'll get to that one last.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to get to that, but we're going to jump into our stories, I think, and I'm going to start it off with a question. And I brought this question up because I'll admit, I saw this story or this question post somewhere else in the week, and I was like, you know, that's a good question. And that is are single-player games coming to an end? And, you know, really, I can't think of any single-player games that are, like, on my list or what I'm looking forward to that are coming out that are single-player outside of Assassin's Creed 2.
Right.
I don't think that has any multiplayer.
I kind of think they're coming to an end with the exception of one genre, which is RPGs. Because everything else, you know, can either be single player.
Borderlands is an FPS RPG game.
Right. I'm thinking like a Fallout.
Right.
Like the big, like is Mass Effect.
Dragon Age is an RPG, and that's multiplayer.
Right. It's also got like multiple classes, though. I'm just thinking that's one genre where I think single player will still exist. They may have some, which they do have multiplayer, but I think single player still will exist in that genre. But except, you know, you got things like Call of Duty, first-person shooters, sports games, all those games. I mean, they're all coming to either multiplayer where you're joining each other or multiplayer where you're against each other. But I kind of think it is on the way out. Single player only, without the option.
Right, and because I think that's what they're kind of going at is, you know, even I was reading an article today in my new OXM that a guy wrote in and was complaining about even four local multiplayer four player split screen is disappearing. You know, usually you get two player split screen and that's it, and. There was the answer to that was that, well, developer, like, if you do four-player split screen, it taxes the hardware to be able to, you know, even the two times, you know, like a game that runs at 60 frames a second. Well, when you split that into two screens, you happen to use your resources, double all your resources, so you actually take a hit, and, like, now each screen is only getting 30 frames per second.
Yeah, it's got painting screen differently.
Yep, and then when you go to four, you know, you're just not going to get it. The hardware just can't handle it. And for them to be able to do that just takes a tremendous amount more resources to try to make the game and the hardware handle it. So they spend more time, you know, going for what's most popular, which tends to be Xbox Live multiplayer and stuff. And that's kind of where people are thinking that the advent of or the fall of the single players due to things like Xbox Live, you know, PlayStation Network, and eventually the Wii may have on, you know, I guess they have online with your friend codes, but, you know, even there, they have online games, and I know, like, Alan Wake, I think it's going to be single player only, but and BioShock was a single player game, but BioShock 2 is going to have a huge multiplayer component to it.
Right. I mean, it's not bad to have a single-player game. And really, games shouldn't be punished on their score or how great their games are based on if they have single-player games or not. Because even Call of Duty or Modern Warfare 2 is going to be a single-player game. It's going to have multiplayer elements, but not the story mode. It's still single-player, I believe. So I just think you're right when you're saying live and all, like, just with the internet and connectivity all together, you know, single player takes a hit because it's this fresh new thing, is this whole co-op, multiplayer, things like that. I mean, once it was a feature, and now I think it's becoming more mainstream, which is how most big features usually end up. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, once it becomes so big, it becomes mainstream. It's not a feature anymore. So what happens when co-op becomes mainstream? Well, single player kind of gets a little lower on the totem pole, so not completely wiped out. I really don't think it'll be completely gone, but I do think that it's, you know, slowly going down. So.
Well, it's like, I just lost a thought. Not like a brain fart in the middle of a show. Man. Okay, I've totally lost my train of thought of what I was going to say.
That's all right. I just coughed half my brain out.
Well, there you go. That's your fault.
Yeah, we're even.
Well, I guess, my question I think is, I look at it too of a single player game. Would I rather has the whole multiplayer and live aspect changed the way you prefer to play? Because for myself, I mean, growing up, you know, on the Atari, you know, and the PC and all that stuff, you know, before online, and really for me, before I got to the Xbox 360, even on my original Xbox, I was on live. On my PC, I played online, but I still played a lot single player. Really,
right.
Multiplayer was fun, but it wasn't like a big deal. It was. Now, lately, I have noticed a change in myself that I'll turn my Xbox on and I always hit my friends list and I see what people are playing.
Right.
And it's like I found that I would rather play online with other people than to sit here and play something singly by myself.
Right. I'm the same way. So my main example for that would be like Halo 3. I probably wouldn't have enjoyed Halo 3 as much as I did if I was playing by myself rather than with three other people. Like, and my big example of that is like ODST. I was playing ODST all by myself, but I was fighting and trying to get in with a group to play multiplayer because I knew I'd have a lot more fun with it than what I did. Even though I liked it, I think it would have been better off with three other people. So, but my thought process is changing also. So,
yeah, it's interesting. Even games like we'll go with off the PS3, like Uncharted. I think it's called Drake's Fortune.
Right.
Uncharted, that was a single-player game. Well, the new one that's coming out has multiplayer in it. I think that's going – they're doing a co-op and a campaign with some multiplayer stuff. We're seeing BioShock, I said earlier, is getting multiplayer added on to it. And it's interesting because BioShock was such a success. And I'm really concerned about the single player. Now, that game I look forward to, the single player playing by myself. But I'm concerned that that game's not going to be as good, or it's going to take a hit because of the fact that, well, we're going to put in other people to do, you know, we're spending time on a multiplayer, which to me, I have no desire for a multiplayer BioShock.
Yeah, me either.
But that's about the only title I can think of that, and in Assassin's Creed, I guess I can't really see how you do a multiplayer there, but outside of those, you know, two games, I can't really see anything else that I would want to play by myself. Borderlands is coming out, and I don't want to play that game by myself. I want to always be in a group of people. You know, I wish right. Call of Duty, in a way, I wish Call of Duty would allow you to bring in someone through the campaign because I might have a chance to go through on veteran, you know, which
yeah.
I'm no good. I can't play these, and I guess that's one reason I like, too, because, like, Halo I played on Legendary. I played Rainbow Six on the realistic mode. I've played, you know, a lot of these, what is it, Resident Evil 5 on the hardest. But that's because there you have co-op, you've got a human, and the human players are just so much better than the AI. And it actually, with Halo, I thought Halo 3 Legendary, and same with Halo 3 ODST, the Legendary modes, were too easy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All with four people?
Yeah, with four people, you just burn right through it.
Right.
It's so that's kind of one thing I kind of don't like. It almost seems like it's too easy, but then again, it's kind of nice to be able to go through on the harder levels. But
true. Yeah, I mean, my big thing is with that is I know I couldn't beat Legendary by myself, but I still want to beat the game. So I think it's not that it's too easy. It's just, yeah, you're right. With four people that are good, you're gonna get through the game. Now, how easy you get through the game is depending on your four people, but at least it's achievable. It's not like so hard where you're getting frustrated.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And another game that surprised me too, that because when I first heard about Brutal Legend, I thought that was a single player only game. And there is a campaign, a single player campaign, but there's also a multiplayer game. You know, and that's, and I think the main reason I was thinking of this is, you know, there are still games coming out with single player. But, like, I mean, Call of Duty, the focus is multiplayer. I mean,
right.
You know, people will get that, and they, I remember when I had Call of Duty 4, I went through the campaign. That's the first thing I do. I go through the campaign, get used to the controls and get all that, go through, you know, maybe a week or two, then I jump online. And I get online, and there's people that are already, okay, I'm up to my first level of prestige. Whoa, what? The game's been out 2 weeks, you know, what happened? Well, they've never played the campaign. And I remember that in the first Call of Duty, I'm like, oh, is that campaign awesome or what? And they're like, oh, I haven't played it. I was like, what do you mean you haven't played it? And they're like, oh, I went and played multiplayer.
Right.
And that's, you're going to see day one at 12:01, you know, when you know, this thing's released at midnight, you're going to have people right on, right into multiplayer. You know, they don't even, you know, ignoring the campaign because that's how big it is. So, it, you know, makes you wonder, are these companies in the effort to make things bigger, better, but cut costs, because they really don't have to have a storyline. You don't have to have a writer. You don't have to really come up with a storyline when you're doing a multiplayer game. That's going to cut costs.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like day one on Call of Duty or Modern Warfare 2, geez, I keep doing that, is based on how much time I got. Like, if I want to be able to sit down for a couple hours, I'll start in campaign. But if I only have like 30 minutes or so, I'll probably pop in multiplayer. So, but
I'm definitely going single player first.
Yeah,
and I think another thing too, what we may end up seeing is if single player does definitely work its way out, you're going to see maybe co-op. Or you'll have co-op campaigns, because we're seeing a lot more of that. But the whole you by yourself, I think, is definitely going away.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a campaign, it's going to be co-op is available. And, like, I'm looking forward to the Special Forces mode of Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, me too. Because that reminds me more of, like, a terrorist hunt type of...
Yep.
Yeah. And I love that.
But you know you and I are going to be going through that.
Oh yeah,
definitely. Because if I try to go through with Kyle, he'll be done in the first day. You know, he'll have it all completed in a day. So you and me will be bringing up the rear later on. You know, get around to it. Because I got to do the campaign first. That's, I'll probably hop on and do a little online, but it's going to be focused on the campaign.
Right. Cool.
I think we've ripped that one into the. Ground. Please feel free to post in our forums if you guys got some thoughts about this or comments. You know, with the other guys coming back next week, they probably are going to want to make some comments on this, so you never know, we may hear from those guys next week on this very topic. And if you jump into forums and say something, if you want, you know, shoot us an email, we'll definitely use your comments in the next show.
Yep.
But before we go in, because I want to save Brun's topic for the last, because I think his is the most interesting. But I got one other thing I wanted to cover before we hit that. And I thought this was kind of very, very interesting. And I wish Kyle was here, because he's our resident farmer. And I don't mean he ain't out growing sugar beets or nothing.
He's not picking corn.
He's not a beet farmer. Office reference. Cha-ching! But achievement boosting is not only for gamers. Ron, who do you think, if it wasn't for gamers only, who else would want to boost achievements?
Well, Is like the media, like IGN people, are they considered gamers or are they like press?
Either way, you'd be wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't know. You have to tell me.
How about game developers?
Huh. Well, they're gamers too, unless they're boosting their own game.
Well, I'm gonna, as I stated, if you keep up with our website, you would have read this article already. I posted this out there earlier in the week. And Randy Pitchford, who is president of Gearbox, which I do believe is the company coming out with Borderlands, what, in just a week or two, right? They know the game went gold.
Yeah.
So, I can't wait. He said that developers can tweak the achievement system by making them easier to get to boost their sales by as much as 40,000 units.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, at $60 a unit, that comes out to 2.4 million extra dollars just from the achievements. And like I said in the show or on the website, that's what I call a very nice boosting session.
Yeah. That's big money right there.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that boosting is huge and achievements
Right.
have taken off. And you know, why do we like to get them? I still have not figured out why I like to have achievements.
Yeah, I've actually kind of fell out of it. I was kind of trying to keep up with you guys there and or trying to, get mine up, but now it's kind of I've kind of fell out of it a little bit. Actually, now it's kind of the way is if I play a game, I kind of hope I don't get an achievement so then I can delete it off my playlist. Because I'm more of a percentage guy.
Yeah.
But even that's kind of going away. But yeah, for people who, man, want those achievement points, or if you allow your achievements to be boosted and that gives you that much money, I'd definitely be doing it.
I mean, it seems I don't I well, my question is, I'm wondering where he gets this 40,000 units, and how they came, you know, how they came at this, because I don't necessarily feel that that's accurate. I'd find that hard to believe that someone's going to pay $60 just because the game has easy achievements. Because most of the people I know that boost, they're big time renters.
Yeah,
You know,
that's a
and
good point.
Kyle, or they'll buy the games when they're $10, you know, at a Walmart or a Target, and they're on liquidation sale. You know, and you're not getting, then the developer's not getting, you know, I don't know how the money works. Maybe they still get their full money, but you know, and they probably do. But if like a if a Walmart or a Target or somebody, if they're buying when they bought that game, my understanding, my assumption is when it hits their store shelf, they've bought the game. The developers and everybody's got their money.
Right.
So when Target sells it for $10, they're losing money because they obviously paid more than $10 for it. It's probably just trying to clear out shelf space.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point, like where the numbers coming from. That's kind of hard to say.
You know,
Unless they're comparing multiple games from the same developer or something like that, saying, well, we tweaked it to where you could boost these achievements, look how much more we sold, so
yeah, you know, and I don't know. And people usually, I don't think they're going to know if they're easy achievements prior to the sales. So it's not like a Gamefly is going to, you know, buy more copies because they're going to expect more people to want it. They're going to buy, you know, it doesn't matter if they don't have it for rent. It sits on your queue till someone sends it back. So
right.
it's not like they're going to buy extra so that everybody and, you know, all their members can get that game on day one because they really don't care.
Correct.
So I'm not sure where he gets that. I don't necessarily buy into that, but I thought it was interesting and, you know, kind of, I guess, kind of, you know, makes you wonder. Well, I don't know. I wonder how much Avatar The Burning Earth sold.
I think most people rented it. I mean, I think you hit the point on the renting too. I mean, I'm not going to pay $60 for 1,000 points, but I'll sure go. If I'm diehard achievement person, then I'll definitely spend $5 to go rent it. Or if I have Gamefly, I'll stick it on my, list, pop it in for the 5 seconds, and send it back. So.
Yeah, it's like Would you even want to pay $60 for a game that in 2 minutes you've got all the achievements?
No. That's why I'd rather go rent it.
But then I guess, you know, the flip side is, well, I'm not buying the game for the achievements. I'm buying the game because I'm a fan of the series or something.
Right.
But then again, that kind of goes against the whole theory of, well, we sell more units because they're easy. Not. I don't think anyone's going to buy it for the 2 minutes because it just doesn't – why would anybody buy that? They're going to borrow it from a friend. They're going to rent it from a store for $5. You know, me, I rented it from Gamefly. I opened it out of the envelope, popped it in my drive. 3 minutes later, it was sealed back up in the envelope and dropped in the mail. You know, like, it's I'm not going to pay for it. But
try finding that game on my list of games played.
You know, I'll tell you, Rob, he did it just to get himself 1,000 points.
Oh, I remember that.
So he has it. And that's funny. Anyways, yeah, you know, again, anybody has any comments on this or thoughts, let us know. We're always here. You can always email us at contact@thisxboxlife.com and sound off about any of our topics. So, but on to the exciting one. I need a drum roll.
Well, I have a topic here that I posted on our site. I did a little early. The topic name was, is it too soon? Because I wanted to see what people would say, and I thought it'd be interesting to stick it out there to get people's responses for our show today. So if you guys like this idea, let me know, and I'll try to do this each week or, you know, a couple of days before each show. But I was watching a daily fix video that I, you know, synced down to my iPhone from IGN. And they're talking about the new trailer for Modern Warfare 2 and the very last scene where it depicts Washington, D.C. as like a war zone. So, and they mentioned that people were kind of upset and some of them feel it's a little too soon after 9/11. So, I'm a patriotic person. I consider myself a patriotic person, and to the point where I know everybody has their own opinions and stuff like that, and Wing, yours might be different than mine because we haven't really talked about it because we've been saving it up for the show. But in my personal feeling is I don't believe it's too soon. I think it's fine the way it is because it's a fictional story, but the main reason why I don't feel like it's too soon or I feel like it's okay is because there's been movies about firefighters that happened that heroically gave their lives to help people out, and there's also another movie out there that people are making money on, you know, basically bashing our government and how they acted on 9/11. And then also, this year, I don't know if they do it every year, but I know this year they actually replayed the entire news feed, and they played it back on another station or another channel, and I DVR'd it, and my wife and I sat down and we watched the entire thing. Now, since we can do that and we can kind of grasp and I'm not saying forget because that's just something you don't forget. It is a part of history, but it's something that I don't think I kind of almost see it as an insult as comparing a game to 9/11. You know what I mean? It's like this game is not 9/11. Nothing can compare to 9/11. So don't take a picture of Washington, D.C. and say it's too soon because of 9/11. I just that's the kind of part that made me mad a little bit. It's like it's not too soon. This is a fictional story. But it's kind of like, why would you even compare Modern Warfare 2 to 9/11? It's where the comparisons kind of getting me. So that's kind of where I've been saving up my stuff to say, hey, you know, no, it's I don't even want to throw it into this question. Is it too soon? Is kind of ridiculous in my own mind, is because why are we even comparing Modern Warfare 2 to 9/11? And I don't want to go into the whole, well, there's been movies where we've destroyed Washington, D.C., like, what was it with Will Smith?
Independence Day.
But that was like before, you know, obviously before 9/11. But it's just like, I don't know. Am I kind of getting my point across where, mm-hmm. do you understand?
Yep.
And it's like, and some of the questions that we have in here is if people talking about patriotism and stuff like that. It's like, I consider myself a patriot. I may not have voted for President Obama, but he's my president. I will back him up 100%. I may not like everything he does, but I didn't like everything President Bush did either. So, but it's just, that's the man we elected as a country, as our president. And that's who we have to back up. And being at a parade today where, you know, you're marching the American flags down the street and I'm sitting there watching and, you know, a few people like took off their hats as the flag was going by. And some people just, I don't think they really understand, because I do believe it's proper to take your hat off when the flag's being marched down the street. Am I right on that?
Yep.
Yeah, I say, because I did it. I took my hat off and I look across and everybody else has just got it on. I'm just like, see?
People don't care. Our values in this country have gone down the toilet.
Yeah. And for some of the things of questioning people's, you know, how they feel about the U.S. and things like that, I kind of think as you get older, you become more and more patriotic. I think as a younger person, even as a teenager, you can't grasp everything. You don't understand everything at that point in time. But as you get older, even in your 20s, like some people get there quicker than others. You know, people that join the military, I believe, get there even faster than what I did. But I was also raised to be, you know, to care about this stuff. So, but that's my whole thing behind it is I kind of find it, why even compare that game with 9/11? But what do you think?
Oh, I'm curious what you think I'm going to say, because I like we said, I have not said a word to you. And I'm curious what, you know, what you know of me.
Right.
I'm curious what you think I might say.
Now, if I get it wrong, are you just going to be like, you don't know me and hang up?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, I guess I asked because, you know, we've been friends now for what, 3 years doing podcasting and, you know. I'm just curious what you think I might say on this topic and what you know.
No matter whatever you do say, I think you're going to have a definite backing behind it. But I think you're actually going to say it is a little too soon.
That's it. You don't know me. I'm hanging up.
Okay.
I thought you might think that. Mm-hmm. And the reason I figured you might think of that is because a couple months ago, we had a discussion about a game called 6 Days in Fallujah.
Right.
And I said it should not be made.
And I agreed with that.
Right. And I felt that was too soon because that war, I mean, we're still there. We're still fighting that war. We're still got people and soldiers dying because of it.
Right.
And I just felt like, you know, it's almost like, well, let's create a war in an Iraq game. Well, we're still there. You know, it feels like almost like the embedded reporters, which I do not like. I do not think reporters should be embedded with our military units. I don't need to know what our military's doing. I don't need to know where they're at, and neither does the enemy. I hate that Saddam had CNN on watching. Oh well, that's where he's getting his intelligence. We're telling him where everybody's at. But anyway,
right. Yep.
I'm getting way off track. I'm getting on a rant. Now. The deal with 9/11, it's been – all right, first of all, I'm going to say this. and I'm going to say this, I am ex-military. I'm very patriotic. I love my country. I served in the Air Force for 8 years. I got out and didn't get out because I didn't like it. Got out for reasons with family and stuff. And I miss it. I have a great respect for every military person, no matter what branch of service they're in. Every single one of them put their life on the line. Their families sacrifice a tremendous amount. And you know what? With that said, I am sick and tired of hearing about 9/11. The thing what I don't like is that I feel like Americans think that they're the only ones to ever deal with terrorism.
Right.
Now, what happened on 9/11 was horrible. It was a terrible thing that nobody should ever have to go through. And my heart goes out for all the families that are still suffering today from the loss. But countries in Europe have been dealing with terrorism their whole lives. Right. Israel has been, you know, they've never known peace. and they're, you know, they're threatened every day with getting wiped off the map, you know. And so I get tired of the whole 9/11 thing. It's like, you know, let's get off of this. Move on. We just needed to do what's right, you know, and we shouldn't forget, you know. But it's like even with Vietnam, where, oh, well, Iraq or Afghanistan's becoming another Vietnam. Well, you know, it's the policy, you know. Anyways, I'm not going to get into why that happened, but learn from the past, move on, and do things correctly, you know. Stop dwelling on everything that happened 8, 9, 10 years ago. And we're not the only country that has to deal with terrorism. We are the luckiest country in the world. We've had fewer issues with terrorism than any other nation in the world. You know, we have very secure because of our distance from everyone. But anyways, man, I'm going off track here, and I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going to get myself right back on track right now. I don't think it's too soon. Another reason is I think it's ridiculous for people to get upset that, well, it shows the bombing of the White House, or the White House is being destroyed, and the Washington Monument looks like it's about to collapse because it's toast. So what? How many other games have people played that we've just, you know, we're wiping out other cities, you know?
Vegas.
Yeah, we've destroyed Vegas and Paris, and we've traipsed through Germany, and we've been in the Middle East with the Battlefield games and Japan, and, you know, it's like all of a sudden everybody's upset because they're showing a White House burning, yet you have no problem when the Kremlin's on fire, or, you know, or we're marching down middle of Berlin. What's it matter? It's a game. It's fictitious. You know, who cares? It doesn't, you know, people need to be able to separate the video games from reality. Now, that being said, of course, I guess you could probably go back and say, well, you just said you shouldn't make 6 days in Fallujah, but if it's just a game, why does it matter? It matters because that's based on actual events.
Yeah, that's not fictional.
That is, yes, and that is based on the real thing. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is a totally made-up story. You know, and why is this any different than any Hollywood movie? Now, there's been a lot of movies about 9/11.
Right.
And that was years ago those came out.
That was like a year, year and a half afterwards.
Yep. And
people, I mean, that was based on truth, or a version of the truth, let's say, because
right.
I don't know which movie you're talking about. But and people made money on that.
Right.
You know, this here is fictional. Yeah, they're going to make money on this game, but they're not making money off of the 9/11 incident. They're making money off of a game. So,
right, and nobody knows what the story is behind the images we've seen.
Right.
You know, there was a very interesting interview that I think it was Jeff Keighley was interviewing, and I cannot remember his name, but one of the guys from Infinity Ward. And they were talking about what we see in that trailer. And the guy was like, I'm not going to, you know, he was very quiet about the story. He's like, I don't want to divulge anything. But what I gathered from it is that you're going to play multiple people. We may even, you know, we're going to get the story. I gather we're going to see the story from not just the, quote, American point of view or the good guy point of view, but we're going to see it from, like, the other point of view. We're going to find out why somebody's attacking us. And there was a question of, are we in this game? Are we actually on the good side or the bad side? Or do, you know, are we taking part in attacking Washington, or are we actually defending it? And this developer was like, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
And it really kind of made me think about, well, that's a good point. You know, maybe somebody in power was doing something, you know, that the American people don't agree with, which in reality matches what's going on in this country right now. You look at the polls, what our politicians are trying to do, the American people don't want.
Right.
You know, so what happens if you've got your people in power and they go and do this stuff? You know, maybe it's the Americans' fight. Maybe this has turned out to be a civil war thing. I don't think so, because we see some bad people and we know the storyline follows from the original game. But there's a reason why those images are there. We're going to find out in the game, you know, and there's going to be a reason why. And, you know, I don't know. I did. It's a long way to say no, it's not too soon. I think people need to relax. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with 9/11.
Right. That's kind of the thing. Like I said, it was not, you know, almost like how does 9/11 get brought into it? It was my first thing. It's like, how is it too soon? For one, why are we even asking, is it too soon? The question should be, why are you even piecing 9/11 to this game? It's like almost anything that happens to the United States gets somehow linked to, you know, 9/11. Like Hurricane Katrina came through. Well, maybe the Earth is just mad at us and it's another 9/11. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of.
And why is the United States, why should the United States be exempt from anything like that in the video game world? Why is it okay in the video game world to go attack and destroy other countries, but we can't have it here? And this isn't even the first time it's happened, because I played a video game called Act of War. It was an RTS game that was based on a book series. So it was a book written about people attacking in the United States. And I remember playing that game and, you know, the White House getting blown up. There's, I believe, the Tom Clancy game. There's battles in the United States. I know there are. That, right. What is it, End War? There's battles taking place in Washington, D.C. This is not the first time that this has happened. So it's just, I think it's because it's such a larger scale recognized game that you see it. You made a comment about Vegas. Well, yeah, Rainbow Six Vegas 2, 1 and 2.
1 and 2, yeah.
You know, what the heck? You know, we're blowing up casinos and killing people. My goodness, man. I remember that one scene in Vegas 2 where you're trying to rescue these people. And I think, spoiler alert, I guess, if you haven't played the game. But if you haven't played Vegas 2 by now, then you're probably not going to. But when you go up, these people are trapped. You're trying to get to this place that they're all like in this, like a, what is it, like an auditorium. And you get up to the doors and this gas has been released and you didn't get there in time. And all the people, you can hear them screaming and dying on the other side of the door. And they were gassed. And you can see part of the gas coming through the door.
Right.
This was right here in Vegas, you know. And it's like, okay, that was a terrorist attack. You know, but no one said anything about it. Wasn't it, well, you know, 9/11.
Yeah.
What's.
And it wasn't, that's the funny thing is, it wasn't even the Washington Monument that was attacked during 9/11. It was the Pentagon, so.
Right, exactly. So I didn't see the Pentagon, you know.
Right.
But. Well, I guess we got our thoughts. Do you want to go through and share some of the comments from the people said on the game?
Yeah.
Or on this topic?
Yeah. 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 Anybody can go out there and obviously read through these or rebuttal or respond to them. But I want to just briefly summarize through these. And if you want to spend a moment on them, we can. But
let's rotate here.
Okay. Soul Assassin said, wasn't the 9/11 in New York? People are just making a big deal out of this. It has no relation whatsoever with 9/11. I responded back to this saying, well, yeah, 9/11 was in New York, but there was the one incident with the Pentagon in D.C., so it was both. But
yeah. Overkill 1972 said, too many people in this country are easily offended. People need to move on and get over it. Life goes on. And, right. I got to agree with that to a point.
That's what you were saying too, yeah.
Yeah, to a point, yeah. There's
there's moving on and never forget. And never forget. That's kind of my stance behind it.
Yeah.
So. Wuzzy says, ugh. it's a game for one thing. Also, this is ridiculous. If you don't get offended by what I say, this can be a touchy subject. This, I know a lot of people were killed, which also
subsequently
thank you led to many more deaths in with the war in Iraq, which wasn't actually the war in Iraq, it was Afghanistan. well, kind of, I guess, went
well,
from there.
We ended up in Iraq because of it.
But this is a game in a completely unrelated city. And in a completely unrelated war, in a completely unrelated and, might I add, fictional time, I do think Americans can be a bit over-patriotic. Again, take no offense. I'm just voicing my opinion, which I don't take offense to anybody's opinion.
No, and I think he's right on. Right. You know, here I am. You know, he's obviously – he's from Europe, I believe. Pretty sure he is. I could be wrong, but I'm trying to remember. I know this guy from another site, and he's talked before, and I believe he's over in Europe. But regardless whether he's from whether he's in the States or not, I agree with him. Americans, and I wouldn't say they can be a bit over patriotic. They can just be arrogant, you know. And I think that's what gets us. Oh, it's annoying, but And this is not me, but someone called Mark, it's more than one of us, said, sorry for loving this country. In a world where your supposed leaders, in other words, Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, badmouth the same country they say they stand for, it's nice to see some patriotism. Maybe everyone else isn't over patriotic, but maybe you're just less. Try looking a mother in the face who lost her son at war because he was a bit over patriotic and tell her that. And yes, it might be fictional and it might be a game, but it isn't unrelated city. DC is DC.
Right. I mean, the thing about looking a mother in the face is I don't know anybody that's lost anybody during the war. I do know like a unit in Columbus was hit pretty hard, but my thing about that is like, you're playing like a soldier who's getting shot and killed all the time. So I wouldn't compare. I don't know. Maybe I'm just off my rocker, I guess.
If you don't like this game, I think I don't see how someone can say, well, I'm not going to play this because it shows terrorist attack or whatever we think it shows in D.C., and it's too close to 9/11. So if someone's making the connection with this game in 9/11 and they choose not to play it, then how can you play Call of Duty World at War, Call of Duty 2, Call of Duty 1, Call of Duty 4, Battlefield 2, Battlefield 1943, you know, any first-person shooter that outside of Doom, okay, anything that revolves killing people in another country, you know, you're not a space marine. If you're actually, you know, real, then you'd have to remove yourself from playing every single one of those games, because, you know, mothers lost children in World War I, World War II, Vietnam, you know, Korean War. Every war that's been fought, a mother has lost a son, and someone's been patriotic, and, you know, there's a good guy and a bad guy, you know, and it doesn't make sense to say you shouldn't play this because this is like cashing in 9/11. Well, you're cashing in on World War II, you know, right. Battlefield, Medal of Honor, Call of Duty. They've been cashing in on World War II forever, and they sell like hotcakes. You know, the how many war movies are there out there that people, you know, go and see and have and sit in their collection? I got a lot of war movies. You know, one of my favorite is Black Hawk Down. Right. And I had, you know, I was in the military during that time frame, and that movie was the first time I saw a war movie that actually emotionally hit me super hard. You know, probably because I had, you know, friends that were in the Army at that time, you know, who'd been there, that, you know, I wasn't there. I was serving at the, you know, in Europe at the time. But it, you know, it doesn't mean I don't want to play a, you know, Black Hawk. There was a game called Black Hawk Down, you know.
Right.
It doesn't mean I don't want to play the game. You know, I'll play it after a time where it's, you know, can be done correctly. And but if you're going to sit here and say people shouldn't play this, then that counts for you shouldn't be playing any shooters.
Right. I don't think he's actually saying not to play the game.
No, I don't either. I'm just general. Yeah, I've gotten off of – I'm ranting again. So this wasn't in direct, you know, relation to him, to Mark's comments. This is, you know – people are sitting there, you know, kind of a general statement. So,
right. If they choose not to play, don't play. But
they're going to play.
Yeah.
Just play your multiplayer and don't play the Washington D.C. map. There you go.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
All right. You get the next one.
Oh, I do?
Yep.
Okay.
You just read that one.
Is this
how about you read this?
You're going to cough in the middle of this?
Yeah, how about you read it?
All right. Hagen says, I'd have to say that were this within a three-year mark of 9/11, then yeah, it'd be insensitive. Beyond that, no, not really. Have they banned or stopped transmitting films like Towering Inferno or Escape from New York? They ruined New York City, which strangely enough has a plane crash into a building in New York? I think not. First off, how many people are saying it's too soon? A small social group of bored housewives, people who are directly involved in 9/11 attacks, loved ones of those lost, a rival games developer who won't have anything on the market to compete with it for another 18 months. The source of these comments is just as important as the subject matter itself. People are entitled to their opinions, but that doesn't mean the rest of the world has to agree with them. In this case, my opinion is, release the game and stop dancing around the subject. This, to me, is just another poorly veiled justification or excuse to stop a game release. Fallout 3, Rainbow Six Vegas, Hawks, and a few others all take place in American locations and involve terrorism or warfare in some form or another, and have been released since 9/11. Where were those people in those comments when they were released? You have a soft, squishy organ between your eyes and not your nose. Use it before jumping on a bandwagon.
Nice. So yeah, I mean, we mentioned Fallout 3, and we didn't mention it during this.
I didn't play it all week, but that's right. That takes place on American soil too.
Well, and what's that game that's supposed to be coming out? It's been delayed a couple times that's like Destroys Chicago.
That's a natural disaster though. But
okay.
I Am Alone.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's got a. You know, I don't know exactly. Like I said, it was just coming from that Daily Fix video. They never really mentioned what the sources were, so I apologize on that.
And what about Left 4 Dead? I mean, zombies are terrorists, aren't they?
I don't know.
Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2, that's all on American soil.
They're just looking for brains.
Because we know zombies are from a bioterrorist weapon, right? So we shouldn't be playing Left 4 Dead either.
We had one more comment from Soul Assassin 808, and it was directed toward Mark, not you, but somebody else. And he's just kind of going on to like, so every city that's seen war, Orwell, an attack shouldn't be used in games is kind of a question back. So we didn't get a response to that, but I don't think that's where he was getting at. So I don't know, but that's it. I mean, that's that topic. It was a good one. It made me sit down and think. I actually was thinking about it for, I think I heard it on a Tuesday, and I didn't write that post until Friday. I spent a couple of days thinking about it, just because it was interesting to me, and I wanted to think it through before I posted it. So,
yeah, it's definitely it's a good topic. It's one of those that people can get very passionate about and have very strong feelings about, and you know, I enjoyed reading what people thought. You know, there's no right or wrong. It's just people's opinions, and we're fine with whatever you think. So don't matter. So thank you to everybody that sounded off on that, Brun. Awesome topic.
Oh, thanks.
If anybody wants to, you know, again, if you are sitting here listening to this going, man, I missed it or I didn't post anything, comment. If you got something you want to say about it, send us an email or go post on this particular topic. And you know what? I think I'd be more than happy to read those off again next week on this particular topic. So,
yeah, I even kind of put that in there as like, you know, sit down, listen to what we say, you know, form up your thoughts or whatever on it, and you know, spit back, you know, email to contact or even a talk box. Just if you do talk box, you kind of have to, you know, watch the tone and the language and stuff like that.
Just keep the language clean.
Yep. So. Oh, we got a nice friends list too.
All right. Well, you want, should we alter this one back and forth too?
Sure.
Since Rob, our resident friends list guru, is not here this week.
Yeah, still got one lung left.
All right, one lung. We'll get through this. We're almost done. Finish up. We got a good friends list, though, but we'll get through it, and we'll let Brun get some rest. Vinny Valentino writes, so I'm sure everyone has heard that Microsoft is looking into purchasing EA. If this happens, what do you think will happen to EA games? Will EA games like Madden become Xbox 360 only?
Good question. Did you? We didn't talk about this on the show, did we? I think I wasn't available that week.
I think we were going to, and then I think we took it out just because I think it's total bunk. It's not going to happen.
Right. It was a complete rumor, so it's not exactly true. Actually, Microsoft put out there shortly after, and I think I posted this in a story. Like they came out and said, "Nah, we have no thoughts of doing that." But this is something I thought about too, this topic here. It's like, man, what if that was true? You know, what would happen? And sitting down talking to one of my buddies at work who also plays games, is it wouldn't be 360 only. It might be a timed exclusive, but it wouldn't be 360 only, because you're going to be cutting out a pretty big fan base with the PlayStation side. And I know everybody that's on the PS3 side could purchase a 360 just to get Madden, but I mean, that just wouldn't be the best thing to do, I don't think. But that's all I had for that.
Sorry, yeah. I got a mouthful of mint melt away. No brownie this week. It's a mint melt away, and it's not melting away fast enough.
That's right. That's a good filler so I could cough.
I'm trying to remember. I thought of something back a couple weeks ago when this came out, and Microsoft could never really do this because EA, they can't look at like what EA's sales are and go, wow, they're making all this money, we need to buy them, because if they did it, if they continued down the path of multi-platform like EA does, then Microsoft is basically supporting their competition and feeding money to their competition. So that doesn't work. So if they ended up saying, oh, everything in the EA is now 360 only, then you've just cut out 50 to 70% of your sales And now, is EA even profitable anymore?
Right.
At that point. And I think the answer would be no.
Right. I mean, my thought behind it was like the only reason why I think they would purchase EA was just for the publishing. Like, just to get games out the door. I mean, maybe they wouldn't have, they would still have Microsoft Game Studios, but they would have all the assets to, that EA has to put out a game, to get a game stamped out to the stores, things like that. And they wouldn't probably do anything with the games. Like, they'd probably keep it the same. But that's a good point, just what you said there, too. So.
But that does, there is another thought to that. Let's say, in our little fantasy world, that this actually happened.
Uh-huh.
If Microsoft, who's now EA, or EA, who's now Microsoft, did no longer purchase multiplayer, or did not no longer have multi-platform games, that's a huge library of software, very popular titles that are no longer going to the PS3.
Right.
And it, would that bring over more people to the Xbox? And if that did, would other companies like Activision and Ubisoft
drop?
Would they end up dropping because there's, you know, the majority of people are on a 360? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it would have to be massive numbers, and it's obviously not going to happen. But for the sake of just conversation, if a company, and this could go for Sony too. I mean, it doesn't matter. If Sony bought out EA and said, no more games from EA for the 360, they can only be the PS3. What about that? That's probably a better way to address this question, okay? Because, All right, we have no more Madden. We have nothing that's an EA product. Left 4 Dead is EA.
Right.
Okay? What happens if, and I've got Left 4 Dead already pre-ordered, Left 4 Dead 2. All of a sudden, boom, now it's a PS3 game. You know, it's not going to be there. What am I going to do if I really want to play that game? And there's a lot of games, you know, that are all EA, that are Brutal Legend, I think, is coming out from EA.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, what of all of a sudden we just got cut off from a huge amount of, I mean, if you look at everything out there, it's probably 40% of the games I plan on playing are coming from EA. You know, 40-50%, and then you have your Maddens and your NBAs and your hockey games, and all these no longer are coming from EA. They're all on PS3. Would I move to PS3 to play the games? Because what it comes down to in my mind is, it's all about the games. It's not the platform. I prefer my Xbox.
Right.
But, you know, if the Xbox disappeared and all that was left was a PS3, I would obviously get a PS3 because I want to play video games.
Right. I just think if that would happen either way, it would be actually bad for everybody. It wouldn't be good. So.
I agree.
Yeah. So that was a good question, though. But you want to move to the next one, which is?
Yeah, Ravioli Caponi.
Ravioli Caponi. Playing an average of about 3 games per year, does Presar actually consider himself a gamer?
I cracked up when I read that. I wish he was here.
Where did you guys get the theme music for the podcast? It reminds me of some type of New Age yoga song, which Wingman will lead us up into upward squatting dog meditation moves. Is this the official Xbox Live theme song, or are you guys thinking about getting something a little more cool and upbeat to get me excited for what I'm about to hear? Let's see. Does Presar consider himself a gamer? I would think he does. I mean, I don't think the 3 games per year might just be Xbox games, but I think he does consider himself a gamer.
He used to game a lot. For those that don't know, Presar, Rob and I are best friends, and we've been friends from high school, which was a long time ago for us. He was a huge gamer, and, you know, he's married with a family now, and that is really – and even before then, he works a lot, and, you know, over the years, he's slowed down a lot. But he still games on his phone, and, He games offline. He's got a couple Xboxes, and I think he's only got one hooked up on live. So I know he's played, yet he's not online because he's on the other one and stuff. So, but, you know, he spends a lot of time with his family, and so he doesn't have a lot of time to play. But he's a gamer. He likes playing games, and that's all that matters. So,
the music is from George Wood. We have that in our show notes every week. It is not the official theme song, and yes, I can change the music up a little bit. The problems that we have with doing music is we either have to contact the people to find out if we can use it or if it's open to everybody, yada, 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 so we don't get in trouble. But I do have a bunch of like GarageBand music to throw in there, so I'll throw something in for you, a little Rockabye Baby or something.
Yeah, I mean, we know about the podcast PodSafe Network, and we hear other podcasts use them, but I've never been impressed with anything I've heard off of there, off the music that you can use. And so this song actually was called Achievement Unlocked. I think that was the name of it, right?
I think so.
I think it's Achievement Unlocked, which I thought was appropriate. But yeah, it is kind of, yeah, we don't think a lot of you really dig the song, so maybe we can go back to Brun. Brun used to put something new in every week, and maybe we'll just go back to doing that, because that was kind of interesting. You never knew what you were going to hear.
Yeah, every time I put, like, country.
Hey,
country, and then one of them was really cool that I found that just so happens to be the theme song that the One Up Show, or Listen Up, they took it and started using it. I'm like, those guys, I tell you, but it's all GarageBand music. It's free to use, so.
Well, it's interesting because on a show that shall not be mentioned that we used to do, we had some real, like, hard rock. I mean, it was just screaming guitars, and I think all of us liked it. The people behind the scenes of that production did not.
Oh, the music they picked was horrible.
Yeah, the music they picked was horrible. So, you know, we have our freedom now. But we actually have had people, like, don't like that. Well, I don't like the loud music. Don't you got something better? So no matter what we put in, someone's not going to be happy. But, yeah, I would agree that the stuff we have is a little slow and not as exciting. And
we need to get people that have a band or something like that to send us an MP3, and we'll put you at the end of the show or something, as long as it's clean.
There you go.
That'd be neat.
That would be cool. We'll go with GarageBand samples until one of you get your band together and – you know, sends us something that we can use for an intro and an outro, and we'll credit you every week.
Yeah. Just make sure if the song involves, like, us, like our names and stuff, that I'm always seen in a good light, and then Kyle's always, like, the one we, you know, look down on. Because I always pick on Kyle for some reason. He's the easy guy to pick on, I guess. He's the young one. But, all right.
All righty. Captain Hook says, I was wondering, what do you think will be your game of the year? My vote is for Batman or Modern Warfare 2, even though it's not out yet. Also, what is your favorite bad movie? My favorites are Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter, which is horrible. It sounds horrible. I also like The Room, which is really, really, really horrible. It is so good how bad it is. All right, so what do you think is going to be your game of the year, Bron?
Probably Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, I have to say it's same thing, without a doubt. What is your favorite bad movie?
Oh, man, there's a ton of, like, cult classics and stuff that you would consider bad, like Airplane and Airplane 2.
I don't think those are bad movies, though.
Oh, well, they're not bad, but they're just, they're so bad they're good type of thing. Kind of what he says. I don't know. What do you think?
When? I'd have to say any movie that is parodied in the Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, jeez. Nice.
I remember watching that one time, and there was this lady in the movie. She had a major part, and she gets killed. And it was like 10 minutes later, you see the same actress playing another part in the same movie, totally different character.
That's
it was
funny.
The same actress.
Maybe that person was sick on that day or something.
Oh, man, it was hysterical.
you know, like parodies are always the ones that you could kind of pick on, I think, in this subject. Like, I was just thinking of one. I quoted something from it earlier this week. It's Airplane, or not Airplane, but Hot Shots Part 2 or whatever it is. Where the guy's name's Walleye.
Walleye. Like
he can't see worth a darn, so he's got these big, thick glasses on. And he's sitting in front of this radar screen, which is the green screen with the thing going around, just like air traffic control. He's like, we got 5 MiGs heading east, blah, 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 blah. And he, like, leans back and he sneezes really hard. And he's like, oh, my God, a dozen more. And a blimp, a huge blimp. And it's slowly moving south because he sneezed the burger on the screen. And it was sliding down the screen. I laughed so hard at that one.
That's classic stuff. But see, that's not a bad movie.
No.
I can't say I like any bad movies because if I don't like it, I'm not going to watch it. But
right.
I don't know. I don't think I have a favorite bad movie.
All right,
my wife might disagree. Some of the stuff I like, she might think is bad. But
Soul Assassin 808 has got two questions here. Says, hey guys, just wondering if you guys have been watching the Battlefield Bad Company 2 trailers. What do you think of it so far? I think the micro destruction looks sick and will give a new tactical way to use destruction. I've only seen a couple of them. Right now, it looks really good. So, but cough coming.
All right. Well, I haven't seen any of them because I really don't care about this game. I liked the single player on the first game. I hated the multiplayer for Battlefield Bad Company. And I'm really not looking forward to the second one. I will rent the second one. I will not buy it like I did the first game.
Right.
And I will buy it only, and I'm only going to rent it because of this. I want to play the single player because I laughed hysterically and really enjoyed the single player. But I hear that the second game's not going to be as funny and as good. So I probably will not like this game is my guess. The micro destruction, and I really am not into the destructible environment stuff. I just don't think it adds a whole lot to the gameplay. I think they built that up for the original game, and then to me, they didn't deliver on what they said. Yeah, I can blow a wall out, but it's like this hole is the same hole that blows out in every wall in the entire game. It's not like I can blow the corners of the building and have the roof collapse in a realistic way. When we get realistic destruction, then I think that might be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then the bad thing about it is everybody runs around just blowing up the buildings, and it takes away from the gameplay. You know? So, of course, I'll never forget, Bron, the night you jumped in my tank, and we're heading off down the street, and all of a sudden I turn a left, and I start tearing down trees, and you're like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, I got to knock down 1,000 trees.
Yeah, I was like, oh, great. Well, let me help out then.
Yeah, and here's the thing, ruining the multiplayer game for a stupid achievement because he won't get in the battle.
Well, the funnier part was when I jumped out and I went and I took a sniper position, I'm sitting there shooting guys, and then I scroll to the right and I see this tank off in the distance, like driving in circles, running over a bunch of trees. So, because you were still doing it. But I haven't followed that much in the trailers yet just because it's not coming out till
next year.
So, but his other question is, I want to I'm not understanding.
I think he wants two of the following games.
Huh. Is he wondering if we want any of them? Because he can buy me all of them if he wants. But oh, wait, okay. I want... it's underneath here.
Yeah.
See. I want two of the following games. Forza 3, already pre-ordered. Modern Warfare 2, already pre-ordered. Left 4 Dead 2, and Assassin's Creed 2. Now, my problem is that I have... no games left to ask for Christmas. I was thinking about leaving Assassin's Creed 2 and asking for Christmas, but then again, I really want it. So if you guys could help me find an awesome game that is worthy of being a Christmas list, or would you recommend leaving Assassin's Creed 2 or Left 4 Dead 2 and buying the other one? I think with Forza 3 and Modern Warfare 2, you're going to cover yourself all the way up to Christmas. I would just leave your, you know, take the third one on the list, or if you could ask for both of them for Christmas, just do it that way.
If I would only take Assassin's Creed 2 off the list, just because I wouldn't buy that game. But he's over. I don't think he can rent it over there.
No, they don't have rental.
That would be the one I'd take off. I would still, if you've got the means to buy Left 4 Dead. But the problem with Left 4 Dead 2 is that it comes out exactly 7 days after Modern Warfare 2. It comes out like November 17th, so
right.
You're probably going to still be into Modern Warfare 2. You probably could get away with Left 4 Dead for Christmas too, but I mean, I'm going to be playing Left 4 Dead 2 the day it comes out. I'll take some time off of Modern Warfare 2, and it's going to be tough because I'm going to be going back and forth between those two games. Assassin's Creed 2, I would put that on your Christmas list. As for anything else coming out around that time, or what between now and Christmas?
Yeah, I don't know.
He didn't mention Borderlands. I really think Borderlands is going to be huge. Right.
When's Dragon Age come out, or is it already came out?
That's another. Yeah, that comes out on November 3rd. Let's see.
Just before Modern Warfare 2?
Yeah.
Nice. Like, for me, Modern Warfare 2 is the next game I'm buying for the rest of the year. So.
Yeah, in my list of titles, he's got Guitar Hero Van Halen, comes out December 22nd. Oh, joy.
Yeah.
Seen It, Bright Lights, Big Screen comes out. That's one of those trivia games. But, yeah. Really, he's got the big guys covered. I think the only thing he's really missing is Dragon Age Origins and Borderlands and possibly Brutal Legend. I think he would probably like Brutal Legend based on his taste, because it has a real-time strategy multiplayer game, and then it's got like an action single-player campaign. So you might want to add some of those to your list maybe for Christmas. The good thing about Borderlands, I think that's going to be a lot of gameplay value there. If the game's good, that's going to be one I think you'll be playing for a long time, like a Fallout 3. And same with Dragon Age Origins. There's a lot of replay value, so you get a lot for your money.
Right. What's the next one?
All right.
Fill up that one guy.
Some guy. I don't know what his name was, but he's a listener of the show. With Game Crazy closing a few hundred stores across the country, it reminded me that they have a store here where I live and that I've never been there. The store is located in an area that isn't near other major shopping outlets, and I've never seen any advertisement that would pursue me to go by the store. Had you guys heard of Game Crazy before the news of their closing came to light? Also, have you ever seen any Game Crazy advertisements anywhere that gamers would normal view? Because I've never seen anything from them. I'm with you, Phil. I was always under the impression that a Game Crazy was the video game section of a Hollywood Video. And
a movie gallery. They're Game Crazy also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which is like what we have here, so.
So I thought it was just like that was just the name that they gave for their rental section of video games. If it's an actual full-on retail store, I had no idea. I still don't because I don't really care because I never go there. But, yeah, I just thought it was like the video game section of like a Blockbuster or anything else. So I'm with you. I could be why they're closed and people don't know about it.
Well, the way I understand it is they're considered like mini Game Crazies, the ones that are in the stores, like a Hollywood Video or movie gallery. And they're actually closing the full stores just because they're going to make the Game Crazy and the movie gallery like one and the same now. So it's not that they're closing them, but look for them to be open like in some other like movie rental area. World Changer says, what game or games do you want to go back and play and give more love to but don't have the time? His is Mass Effect, COD4, Halo Wars, and Forza 2. So on a side note, I'm glad to be back. It's been a while. Yep, it has been a while. So I agree with the Halo Wars. I would like to go back and play that, and also maybe some Halo 3, but that's about it.
I would say Halo Wars for me. I'd actually like to go back to do some more Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. But I got to a point where I was stuck on the veteran, playing through on veteran. And I don't think I'm going to get any further. So but I'd like to try to give it some more time and try, but.
Yeah, I'm stuck too. So. That's it.
And Rock Band, of course.
Right. Yeah, that would be a one for me too. I'd like to go back and play some.
Get the Beatles.
No, I'll pass on that. So, but, so, H1N1, or is it N1H1?
N1H1 has come to a close.
Jeez, man, I've been coughing for like 5 hours straight, and this last couple hours have killed me.
Well, you've done an outstanding job. Actually, your voice doesn't sound too bad, so.
Oh, good.
You don't sound as bad as you probably are, which is good for our listeners, but.
Yep. But, in closing the show, contact us about anything we talked about today at contact@thisxboxlife.com or visit the site, thisxboxlife.com. You can follow us on Twitter or join our gamer tag that is on the front, our front page. So, and Twitter is twitter.com/thisxboxlife. So, with that being said, I am the sick one, or the one that nobody knows about, I guess, BJSwig33, and I'm going to go take some cough medicine and go to bed.
And this is Mark, a.k.a. Wingman709. I'm going to take off and disinfect my headset, microphone, and my internet connection and hope I don't get N1H1 through the internet. If I get sick, I'm blaming you, Brun.
All right.
Good night, everybody, and enjoy the silky smooth sounds of enjoy the hard rocking or whatever it is, the country twanging, the smooth jazz or whatever it is that Brunt plugs in for you today. Later.
Yep. Yep.